Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. If I could talk with each of you personally and ask you what is the world's greatest need at this time, how would you answer? I have no doubt that many of you would reply, "We need wisdom to guide us in our world of doubt, discouragement, and discontent." But if wisdom could provide for human needs, would not the golden age of Greece have given to the world the greatest treasures of wisdom and knowledge the human race could imagine? After all, Athens gave to the world the greatest of all philosophers, Plato. It also produced great artists, playwrights, scientists, mathematicians, historians, physicians, and architects. Should we study these men's philosophy and design our behavior according to their wisdom? Paul almost certainly had the philosophers of Greece in mind as he wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth. Paul begins his discourse of wisdom by quoting from the great Old Testament prophet Isaiah, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" 1 Corinthians 1:19 and 20. Paul next contrasts two kinds of wisdom, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." 1 Corinthians 1:21. There is no question about the world's need for wisdom. But the wisdom of the world has not provided the answers men need to live for God and to be successful in their relationships on this earth. Nor can worldly wisdom ever hope to do so. James talks at length about two kinds of wisdom, although he uses somewhat different language from Paul. "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy." James 3:14-17. If you listen carefully to this reading from James, you will surely agree that the greatest need of the day is wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but the wisdom which comes from Almighty God. There is a whole body of ancient literature which is called wisdom literature. This is a technical term referring to certain Old Testament books, Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes, and to some books outside the Old Testament, Ecclesiasticus, and the wisdom of Solomon. Proverbs is by far the best known example of wisdom literature in the world. The word wisdom is used in every chapter of that book. Either the word wise, or wisdom, or wisely, is used about 100 times in Proverbs. The book also has a number of synonyms for wisdom: prudence, understanding, and in some cases, knowledge. Wisdom literature in Proverbs and in other Bible books also refers to the form of the literature. Generally speaking, the books of wisdom are composed of short, pithy, wise sayings. By divine inspiration, the Proverbs were collected and preserved for our edification, inspiration, and comfort. There is hardly a topic you can mention on which the book of Proverbs does not speak. Business ethics, the proper use of the tongue, family relationships, and so on. You could hardly spend your time more wisely than in digging deeply into the great book of Proverbs. The Song of Solomon differs markedly from other wisdom literature. It deals with the beauty, the charm, and the sacredness of married love. It not only has a powerful message for men and women in every age, it also is some of the most beautiful poetry in existence. Ecclesiastes deals with man's duty as he lives on earth. God gave Solomon the responsibility of discovering what made life worthwhile. Solomon's conclusions are found in these words: "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Ecclesiastes has some disturbing and distressing sentiments in it, but the overall message provides great help in making correct choices during this life. The New Testament includes just one book which some scholars classify as wisdom literature, the little book of James. James is similar in form to the books of wisdom of the Old Testament and has been called the wisdom literature of the New Testament. James tells us how to obtain wisdom and discusses at some length two kinds of wisdom: wisdom from above and wisdom not from above. James 3:14-17. Like the book of Proverbs, James is full of short, pithy, powerful sayings which command and deserve our attention. James says, for example, "Therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." James 4:17. There are a great number of passages in Proverbs which exalt wisdom. Let me read just one of these, and then I shall speak to you for the remainder of our time on the topic, "Wisdom is the principal thing." Proverbs 3:13-20. Solomon says very succinctly, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding." Proverbs 4:7. Now let me read Proverbs 3:13-20. "Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is every one that retains her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding has He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew." In the passage I have just read, Solomon makes three powerful points. First, he discusses the incomparable worth of wisdom, Proverbs 3:13-15. Second, he points out the blessings which emanate from wisdom, Proverbs 3:16-18. And finally, he talks about God's wisdom as shown by His wondrous works, Proverbs 3:19-20. Please examine each of these points with me for the remainder of our time today. The incomparable worth of wisdom can be seen in the fact that it produces happiness and blessedness. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Obviously, happiness cannot be guaranteed in the life of every person every day. Tragedies, heartaches, and disappointments are part of our earthly pilgrimage. Our American Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it does not and cannot guarantee happiness. If a man or a woman is fortunate enough to find wisdom and to follow its precepts, he or she has a handle on happiness. We may not be hilariously happy every day, but the general tenor of our lives will be happiness and fulfillment. Wisdom in this context, and throughout the Bible, is not easy to define or to understand. The Bible makes it very plain that wisdom is very desirable and attainable, but it does not give a precise definition of the word. If we want to be wise in God's eyes, we must believe His Word and follow it throughout our lives. Men may think they are wise because they are highly educated, but we must realize there are educated fools. Wisdom involves using our knowledge and understanding to live for God, whatever our occupation or profession, and to serve our fellow men. One can have a vast amount of knowledge and understanding and not use these to the glory of God. Often we know and understand many of life's processes and goals, but we lack the courage to live by our knowledge and understanding. Please listen carefully to Solomon. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring to you honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Proverbs 4:5-9. Incidentally, I am not sure the words wisdom and understanding are used very differently in Proverbs 3:4. I do not know how one could have wisdom without also having understanding. Solomon affirms that wisdom is better than silver and gold. For the merchandise of it, that is wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Proverbs 3:14. If anyone in Solomon's time knew about silver and gold, it would have been Solomon. He was one of the richest men who ever lived. But he knew the dangers of riches. He knew riches could not make anyone happy. Please listen to these wise words from one who knew the power and the deceitfulness of riches. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased which eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begets a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Ecclesiastes 5:9-15. Solomon had enough wisdom to know that riches could not make him or anyone else happy. He knew, and we know, that some of the richest men and women in the world are among the most miserable. Some of the very happiest people in the world are very poor. Convincing the average man about the truth Solomon is stressing is not the easiest task in the world. The average man seems to think that happiness and satisfaction would increase immeasurably if he just had enough money to pay his bills and to lay away some for a rainy day. Wisdom is also more precious than the finest jewels and other worldly possessions. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Proverbs 3:15. Many human beings have strong desires for precious stones, rubies, diamonds, emeralds, and such like. Diamonds are not a girl's best friend, regardless of the message of one popular song. After all, precious stones are only semi-permanent and of limited value. Oddly enough, many adherents of the New Age movement attribute some magic power to crystals and to other precious stones, but their view makes absolutely no sense. nothing of a material nature has the value of true wisdom, the wisdom which comes down from above. James 3:17. Obviously, we have to recognize the exceptions to this great passage. Many people live for God every day, and yet their ways are not always pleasant, and their paths are not very peaceful. Jesus Christ lived more wisely than any other person in all of history, and yet his life was not always filled with pleasantness. He suffered at the hands of his countrymen, especially at the instigation of the prominent Jewish leaders. Paul lived fully for the cause of Christ. He was content with his lot in life, Philippians 4:11, but he suffered immensely. Generally speaking, God's people will be blessed abundantly in this life and will receive the crown of life in the world to come. But we often have to suffer persecution, deprivation, and even death. The so-called health and wealth preachers must not overlook these biblical facts. When they do, they deceive people and sometimes turn them away from Christianity altogether. I'm not saying that Jesus did not experience any pleasantness and that he did not have a peace which human beings cannot understand. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. He worked diligently that men might live at peace among themselves and with their God. But his life was not always characterized by peace, at least as we define peace. Jesus had complete peace with his heavenly Father because he always did those things which pleased God. John 8:29. Peace, my friends, does not mean the absence of conflict, but having the right relationship with God and with one's fellow men. Jesus knew more about that kind of peace than any other person who ever lived. Solomon refers to wisdom as the tree of life to them that lay hold of her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Proverbs 3:18. The expression, the tree of life, would indicate the power of wisdom, that it is able to sustain and to nourish those who have wisdom. Solomon could not have known just how our Lord Jesus Christ would completely fill the words he wrote about the tree of life. Paul affirmed that our Lord brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. It is through wisdom gained from Jesus Christ that Christians can inherit eternal life. The Bible teaches very strongly that no life outside of Christ is possible. Jesus said on one occasion, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. But the wisdom which comes from Jesus Christ is not ours simply because of his life and the great sacrifices he made for us. Solomon speaks of laying hold of wisdom. Laying hold would show that one has to exert energy to gain wisdom. One is not born wise. He has to work at being wise. That includes the following. First, we must pray to God, who is the very fountain of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. James 1:5-6. Second, if a man wants to be wise, he must study the Scriptures, since in them God has revealed his way to make men wise. Psalm 1 sheds considerable light on this topic. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 119 also has much to say about God's Word in making men wise. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every evil way. Psalm 119, 97 through 104. But praying for wisdom and studying God's Word to learn His will not be enough to make us wise. We have to put into practice what God has revealed in His Word. That was the reason James wrote as follows: But be you doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1:22-25. Surely we all understand how vital it is to pray to God for wisdom, and to study faithfully from His inspired Word. But there are thousands of people who do these and still are not wise. Wisdom must produce fruit in God's service. We not only show our faith by our works, we also show our wisdom by our works. The alien sinner must come to know God, His book, and His Son. He must translate his knowledge into belief and into obedience. If he believes in God's Son, confesses that faith before men and before God, repents of his sins, and is baptized into Christ, he has set his feet on the path of true wisdom. Then he must continue to walk with the Lord every day to have God's continued approval. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from our sins. 1 John 1:7. The Apostle Peter addressed the same topic. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. 2 Peter 1:10. Wisdom demands total commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. The effort to gain wisdom I have just described does not mean we can earn the right to know God and to gain His favor. It simply means that God has outlined in His Word what He expects of us in our service to Him. That is the reason the book of Proverbs stresses buying the truth. This expression demonstrates that effort must be expended if we're going to attain unto wisdom. But not only should we work to gain wisdom, we must also work at retaining her. Happy is the man, Solomon says, who retains wisdom. Ultimate happiness will come to those who gain the wisdom which comes from God, and who maintains that wisdom throughout his life. According to our text, Proverbs 3, God's wisdom is shown in His wondrous works. The Lord created the earth by His infinite wisdom. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding has He established the heavens. Proverbs 3:19. Those who claim that the earth originated by accident are insulting the wisdom of God. I do not wish to impugn the integrity of evolutionists, but no theory in the world makes less sense. nor can any theory do greater disservice to mankind than the theory of evolution. It is beyond me how anyone could claim evolution as the explanation for the origin of our universe. God's wisdom, as revealed in His Word and in His works, cannot be harmonized with any theory of evolution. Incidentally, whatever flaws exist in our universe, and I am not denying that flaws do exist, did not result from God's inability to create a perfect world. Man's sins, according to Scriptures, contaminated this world and brought severe repercussions from God Almighty. God made the earth for man and made it perfect. But man's rebellion against God's laws brought sin and evil and the consequences of these acts of disobedience. Not only did God create the world by His wisdom, but He also sustains it by His wisdom. By His knowledge are the depths broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. Proverbs 3:20. All of this means that God has arranged for seed time and harvest. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. If God had not arranged for the order we see on every hand, life on this planet would not be possible. We see God's wisdom in His arrangement for our lives. One further point needs to be made before our time expires. The Bible makes it very plain that God is all-wise. But the Bible also teaches that God's wisdom resides in Jesus Christ. Paul mentioned the mystery which God had revealed in Christ, and then says about Christ, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Colossians 2:3. The word treasures literally means storehouse, a place of safekeeping. Paul is arguing very forcefully that if men want to be wise, they have to know Jesus Christ, since in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. My friends, we thank you for listening to our lesson today. May God continue to bless you.